Okay, this is the interactive portion of the program. We will take your calls with Mark Peters. And I've still got some more things to go through with him, too, when I come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Mark Peters with us. Mark, before we get to the calls, we were talking about the two possibilities, in your opinion, of why we shot on those UFOs. Let's go back to those again.
Sure. Well, the first thing is I think that they just want to keep them away.
Okay.
It's because if they are here, then it causes people to think, and just their appearance makes people think, and the government doesn't want us to think. They want us just to obey, just keep being just a subservient sheep and just not question anything and leave them in power. Well, the second reason is I think because it may have been that they were determined to be hostile, because as I've said, there are good ones, there are bad ones, and like most of them are just tourists, you know, who come by to observe. So they may have, and I don't know the answer to the question, they may have determined that they were hostile and they were shooting at them to keep them away. I remember, was it the fellow who wrote The Day After Roswell, Colonel Corso.
Philip Corso,
right,
with Bill Burns.
Right. He mentioned that that we needed to, they were running roughshod, they were flying around and nothing could stop them. And that's one of the reasons they developed the technology, the Star Wars project, was to keep them away because we couldn't stop them. Well, I think now we're going a little too far because they don't want to come here if they're going to be shot at. That's a hell of a way to welcome people from another planet. And they're human beings. George, these aren't little gray aliens, the ones I know about. And I know David has information about the others, but the ones I know about are human beings who care about us. They were sent by a being, a super being named Faj, who sent others here to create a colonization of this planet to initiate an experiment, which was self-governance, hence the importance of America, hence people using their abilities to advance each individual by themselves to their own spiritual enlightenment.
Now, why would we fire on them, hostile or otherwise, if they had that kind of technology, Mark, to get here in an instant, and whether they came from other dimensions or planetary systems? The point is, they've got technology to get here hundreds of thousands of years, if not millions of years ahead of us. Why would we be so foolish to do something like that to provoke them?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Well,
sure is.
It's beyond me, George, because, again, though, they want to keep them away. We're shooting at it. You see it clear as day, and every member of the audience, show it to other people. See what your government is hiding and see what they are doing. But remember, there are good people in our government as well, those who are struggling inside the bureaucracy to release this information. And you know there are some of those over at JPL or at NASA who've released information anonymously. I encourage anybody in government to look at yourself in the mirror saying, can I justify, yes you can, releasing this information to we the people? We deserve to know.
Well,
if we live in a democracy, then we're supposed to be in charge. And if they hide from it, they are countermanding the very purpose of a democracy, which is to enlighten the people. So they're frustrating the purpose of America. So that's why I'm encouraging them to open up. And I'm hoping they will make that decision and start to release more and more.
Now, eventually that's going to happen, I think. But I think it's going to take time, and it might take some kind of episode.
You mean like a particular event?
Yes.
Well, I don't know how we can encourage that event to occur. I mean, this particular event, I mean, we're shooting at them. You see the contrails. You see, I don't know if it's a plasma beam weapon or some kind of pulse beam weapon, but you see the contrails.
It's something.
It's never been addressed, George, by NASA. The only thing they've talked about are those ice crystals.
Yeah.
Suddenly changed direction.
And they were
340,000.
And they were
it's
huge.
So insulting to them.
It is. Now, the second launch or whatever it was didn't seem to have the same intensity, did it?
Well, I think it's aiming further away. That's to the craft that's coming in from the right of the screen, and it's further away, and it zooms out further. So I think they're aiming at a different angle, and the one on the left is more obvious because I think perpendicular. The other one's going up out as at an obtuse angle, you know, angling towards the craft as it zooms out into outer space as well. There are two crafts. People say they see more, but I only see two.
Do we have any idea where the UFOs might have been situated over the planet, and what countries were underneath it?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if they're capable of determining that. They were able to triangulate the source of the two shots, you know, from Australia. They know where the space shuttle is. They estimated the distance to those, at least the craft on the left, at 2,000 kilometers away towards the horizon. But I don't know if we have the technology yet to be able to determine where they came up from.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Hartford, Connecticut. Bob's with us east of the Rockies. Hey, Bob, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, George and Mark.
Hi.
I was struck by, most of all, to motivate the call, by Mark's pointing out of his belief that there are good and bad aliens. And I through all the years that I've been exposed to anything to do with UFOs, I've seen them on two different occasions. Two different configurations of craft, one during the Hudson Valley sightings in the 80s, and it looked exactly like one that had been photographed by a Connecticut State Trooper over Danbury, Connecticut, which is on the other side of the Hudson Valley. The main thing, Mark, was the issue of the good and bad aliens. With all the exposure I've had to the UFO question, It seems, it just feels like truth to me that our existence here and the aliens as well, with your connection drawing their goodness and badness into it, is that our lives here in physicality, it's like a huge morality play. And ties in with the teachings of Edgar Cayce. One of his prime teachings was set self aside. Eradicate the ego, and that ties in also, Mark, with the point that you brought up with the business of what's preventing this from the truth from coming out is people owning, of course, the oligarchs owning oil stocks, trying to buy the government, and suppressing the truth. Based on self-interest, which is in direct opposition to Edgar Cayce's teaching of eradicate the ego, set self aside. And I just wanted to, everything that you said has just been amazing and motivated me to make the call. And also, which I believe is the one fault with the United States has great potential, but the word socialism has been turned into a dirty word, but the dictionary definition is a belief in a social order based on cooperative effort and community of property. Of course, community property is the big turnoff, but it's cooperative effort, the morality play, eradicate the ego, as Edgar Cayce told us.
Okay, can I respond, George?
Yes, please.
Sure. First, on the ego aspect. That's so critical. I'm sorry, the caller's name was?
That's Bob in Hartford, Connecticut.
Bob. Hi, Bob. You mentioned the ego, and that is such an important concept to consider because we have to put our ego aside if we're going to achieve enlightenment. One of the things that Hal brought into his classes was the concepts of Gurdjieff, and I have that a little bit on the website, which you have to get past your ego. My wife was going to Eckhart Tolle meetings, and you know Eckhart Tolle's Oprah has him on periodically. And
yes.
He talks about getting past the ego, you know, and that's such an important thing because we get distracted with all these I's, as Gurdjieff called them, the personalities, the different, you know, me who does this, I who do this, I believe in this. You have to supersede that to get at the essence of your consciousness, of your spiritual development. But you have to get past that ego, so that's very important. And I appreciate your looking at that. Secondly, as to the socialism aspect. There is the old line that as you sow, so shall you reap. And socialism has an appeal, and we have to have a community of nations, and we have to cooperate. But the other side of the coin is that each of us, as if again, if you put forth effort, you are supposed to receive the benefit of that effort. If you want to give something away to somebody, that should be your choice. You shouldn't be forced into it. The karmic rule is that whatever you do, the good, the bad, or nothing at all, follows after you. And you live, you know, the old line, by the sweat of thy brow shall ye eat bread. Not by the sweat of somebody else's brow, but by the sweat of your brow. And when the leaders in charge of this government want to give this and take care of that group, is they're depriving the people of choice, and the choice to make the decisions from which growth is necessarily occurs. So we have to, each of us, make our own efforts. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't work together. We have to work together. If we don't work together, we'll just be picked apart. As, you know, the old line, as I make the joke, Franklin said, we'll hang separately.
Next up, let's go to Gary in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the program, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Just quickly, George, I just wanted to reiterate that Coast to Coast AM is truly a national treasure.
Well, thank you.
I want to ask you, guys, you say that those two ships were fired on. I just was curious, how does he know that we fired on him, meaning human beings fired on him and another set of aliens didn't fire on him? And I also wanted to see if he could comment quickly about the more recent video of the apparent ship docked to the space station with like some kind of a yellow craft. If he's familiar with that, and if you could mention that, and I'll listen to his response off the air. Thank you so much.
Okay, sure thing.
Sure, Gary. Okay, who fired it? Were they aliens or was it us? And here I have to rely on people with more capabilities in the scientific realm than myself. That's why I depended upon Williamson Labs, the NICAP intense analysis that they did, and just click on their page. It's amazing how far in depth they went. But they were able to triangulate it down to our two facilities, one in Exmouth Bay, the other at Pine Gap. So they were directly, you can see, because again, you know where the shuttle is at any given second. And so they can analyze and just triangulate back. Secondly, as to the ship docked, I don't know how valid that is. It's a brief thing. It may be valid. I point this one out because NASA has never, and they can't deny the existence of what we see. And though they may try to dissuade you from believing your very eyes, people, I tell you, use your common sense, and you can see what's happening. And when NASA or some other agency says, oh no, those are ice crystals, get peeved, get annoyed, get angry, because it is an event that is occurring right in front of your eyes, and they haven't denied it. They can't deny it, because you hear Houston talk to shuttle. You hear the astronauts respond. You see the camera rotate and move over to see the rear of the cabin, the hatch door. So it involves a variety. That's why I chose this particular video. As to the one that ship docked, I don't know. That's a good question. George, do you know anybody who's analyzed that one?
No, I haven't. But one of the reasons I think they don't want to tell us is they don't want to admit that they have that kind of weaponry available, Mark.
Yeah, and I think we can always, they haven't used it, so I don't think that's a problem.
Okay, you're wiggling your phone.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
They haven't used the weaponry against us, so I don't think that's a concern that we have to be worried about. They may be worried about it. I think they're more concerned about us realizing what's going on, and also the fact that they've lied to us for so long and in such detail. And I think, you get stuck in the mud and you keep sinking deeper and you keep covering up because it's harder to release the information to admit you've made the mistake. And Paul Hellyer talks about giving amnesty to those individuals who have covered up because they honestly, truly believed we were not ready to get that information. So we have to be able to reach out and say, okay, you made some decisions. We think they're wrong, but we forgive you for that. Now let's move on.
Not one presidential candidate on both major parties has mentioned this at all.
Well,
at all.
Yeah, and It's too bad. Now, was it Panetta, I think, that said that he didn't get the answers that he wanted to
he,
get
he
on
was, he apparently sent out by Bill Clinton originally, sent him out to get some answers. And then when he was heading up the CIA, he tried to do it on his own, and he said that's one of his biggest regrets.
Well, he's fighting a bureaucracy that is entrenched since Roswell, and it's so ingrained and so well protected that he has to overcome layer upon layer upon layer of disinformation, cover-ups, and distractions.
Joey in Las Vegas. Take it away, Joey. You're up.
Yes, how you doing?
Thanks good,
for
Joey.
Taking my call.
Sure thing.
I agree with you about the aliens and everything, but the thing I disagree with is the fact that the United States government would never come out and say it, because they could all be held for crimes against humanity. Because for over 60 years, they kept this lie. Can you imagine how the world would have changed? Saddam Hussein would have never invaded Kuwait because the oil would have been obsolete.
I'm with you on that. But again, if we're going to make the transition to get those people in government to finally release it, we have to be able to forgive those who made what they thought at the time was the best decision. And so if somebody has decided, whether they're higher up or middle, I've got to continue with the cover-up because they were told to do so, in which case I would assert to them, UCMJ, the primary rule is do not obey an immoral order. And keeping this information from the people who put you into power is immoral. But also the fact that if you are covering it up because you don't think we can handle it, let us make that decision. But Joey, I understand it's been 60 years and it's going to be awfully hard. But if we push them and are forgiving, now there are some who we may not be able to forgive because they have committed the crimes of killing people to shut them up. And if you look at the dark side of the ET visitation issues, you see people who have been coerced, the men in black who have pressured, coerced, and sometimes I understand have been assassinated because they were going to reveal information. But remember, there are good people in government who are fighting against that. There are good ETs. There are good human beings here. It's a question of values. Which side do you take? And every human being has to make that choice.
Mark, the old Anunnaki that they came here, seeded us, Zechariah Sitchin's theory, I think that's pretty accurate.
George, from what I know is that the people, the beings that I know about who came here, primarily one individual named Zemklaw, who was a visitor from a planet called Sello, who came here aboard that extra gamma traversing cycle, the one that we have the picture up on the website, that he revealed information that this planet has gone through a couple of 100,000 years of civilizations. And it's not just the Sumerian civilization, but it goes further back than that.
I think so, too. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that and take final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Richard Serrett will be filling in for me tomorrow. I've got a corporate event I've got to attend. Actually, they're pulling me to it, so I'm going to be doing that. Richard was so gracious to fill in, and he's got a great program in store for you tomorrow night. And then right back to the shows we go over the weekend, and I will be back on Monday for you as well. Welcome back with Mark Peters, of course, his website. You've got a couple websites, Mark, don't you?
Yes, I do. Interworld Institute for Research and Understanding is under Interworld Institute. Anaj is another one that's a consciousness for the spiritual development. The primary one is STS-48. Hey, George, can I just ask your permission just to play about 15 seconds of that video? You can hear the discussion between Houston telling
crank it
shuttle.
Up. Crank it up for us.
Okay, here we go. You're going to hear first Houston's directing the Discovery to do a water dump. Now, you people out there who are driving, you can't see it, of course, but as soon as she starts talking, the Houston representative, the camera then starts lowering down from the shot of the Earth's horizon where that event just occurred. Then, as they're lowering it, then she said, then the shuttle people say, oh, this is what you want us to do. In other words, they already have started engaged. So here we go. I've got it.
Okay, here we go.
Discovery Houston for Dale. All right, J.O., we predict the maneuver to the supply water dump attitude will take about 15 minutes, and in order to start the dump on time, we'd like for you to do that maneuver now. We need it to prevent contamination.
Now, she says to, we want you to start the maneuver now. Now, they don't wait for a response. This is critical when you analyze the video and the audio, is that normally you give a command and they have to acknowledge it, then they commence. But they already know, they've got the command. They have to start lowering that camera because it's just photographed in an amazing event of not only the two ET craft, but us shooting at them.
Contamination.
There it goes. They're rotating the camera now.
Okay, I understand you want us to start the supply water dump now, or at least initiate the maneuver now.
We'd like for you to initiate the maneuver, and then when you get there, initiate the water dump.
She says,
Okay. So that shows they know.
Well, and let me ask you this, Mark. If the water dump didn't mean move the camera, what would it mean? Were they dumping something out into the bowels of space?
No, but it makes no sense because they said initiate the water dump. They start rotating the camera, then they acknowledge. So it doesn't matter. Whatever the instruction is, the code word is move the camera. And you know, it's like when some of the astronauts talked about bogeys, referring to UFOs.
Yeah.
And you know, and sometimes they would be able to switch frequencies. Now, I must point out that right after this event occurred, NASA initiated time delays so that they wouldn't have this problem again.
This is just
bizarre. They don't want us to know.
No.
And that's where every American has to, you know, you got to do something. You have to say something. You have to start asking. You have to push your representatives. You have to elect people who are going to come from the outside in and shake things up, and to ask those people in control in government to start releasing the information. If I can, just make a plug for MUFON Symposium next week, George.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, our buddy Jimmy Church is going to be out there.
Ah, and so is Paul Hellyer.
Good.
Jan Harzen has put together a wonderful symposium. It's going to be the 24th to the 27th down in Irvine. If people go to MUFONSymposium.com, they can see about it. Now, obviously, people in other parts of the country can't make it. You can always send for CDs, DVDs, etc. But I would urge every American to get involved, talk to people who are in the field, call up your show, talk to people. I mean, so many guests as you have, you have links to them. Explore, but they've got to take that first step.
Yeah, you sure do. Now, we were talking, we'll get to the final calls in just a second, about past civilizations and what might have been going on during those days, Mark, in terms of how old people really were. Michael Cremo, one of our guests, thinks we're hundreds of millions of years older.
Well, civilization goes back, who knows, trillions of years. In an infinite universe, everything is occurring. But as far as I know, on this planet, it goes back 250,000 years, and I'm looking at the time charts of Phage. I have it on the website, where there was the Atlantis period, which was 62,000 years, and that was, 200,000 years ago. Then you had another period with Lemuria, and then another period where there was, and we've heard Noah, but Noah is a change from Nui. Nui was the individual, the being who was told to construct a time device, and that capsule, there were two capsules, one of which a lot of people were placed into that time capsule, space capsule, and they eventually landed on the coast of China. The other one went into outer space, and it's gone. They don't know where it is. It just kept going, and it's lost.
All right, back to the calls we go now. Let's go to Westchester, New York. Billy's turn on Coast to Coast. Billy, thanks for holding so long. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I was just wondering if, Mr. Peters, thank you very much for the call, and you guys do a great show. But I just wonder if Mr. Peters ever took the perspective that maybe ground control was, in effect, possibly being like a Snowden. Maybe they, because if they're in control of these things and they know these things are going on, when these events are happening, don't you think that they would have maybe move those cameras prior to an event happening, or at least have some knowledge about it. But ground control chose to wait a second until it gets captured on film. Then they tell them to move the camera now, after the event was already captured, in effect releasing it to the public.
I'd like to think so, but I don't know if our government's so adept at doing such an instantaneous decision. Remember, this event occurred. It was the camera was out there. It was videoing, and then suddenly this UFO comes up from, you know, emanates from the atmosphere and starts moving across. Now, you know, you're right. When you think about it, it took at first at 1:31, you see the craft show up. Then at 1:46, it stops, reverses, and they could have cut off, you know, that's a very good point, Billy. They could have cut it off sooner.
Exactly. You know, so they could have cut people can't always come out like Snowden did, but they can do it surreptitiously.
Yep.
Like, oh, geez, I'm sorry, I forgot to call them up. So now we got to call them up. Ground control has to call them up and say, okay, now move it now. So that might have been that female who was the ground controller might have been sympathetic to the fact that, geez, this is immoral, us keeping this from the people. And just that little 10-second, 15-second delay was enough to, you know, provide proof to the race, if they want to dig into it, that this is occurring.
A gradual disclosure.
No doubt. No doubt.
That's possible, Bill. I hadn't thought about it. That's a very good point, because you see the time delay between 1:31 to 1:46 when it stops, reverses direction, and zooms out at 340,000 kilometers per second. If they saw that occur, though, it depends on how fast they were reacting.
Maybe little subtle messages to us, Mark, without them saying anything directly. Who knows?
Right. Well, now it's time for them to say something directly.
You would think so. I argue with Stephen Bassett all the time. I don't think disclosure is going to come.
You know, Dr. Neil Tyson says that, quote, we don't give our address to members of our own species who we do not know, so the urge to give our home address to aliens, that's audacious, end quote. But you got to remember, there may be some bad guys, but they're good guys, and they're all overruled by our creator, who dictates the rules of the game, so to speak.
As an attorney, have you tried to get special documents or anything like that?
Nope, not yet. I've talked to people. I met an attorney about a week and a half ago. I was at the courthouse. We started talking, swore me to secrecy, said to anonymity, and said that he saw an alien when he was up in the Santa Monica Mountains in the back of a sheriff's car. Now, if an individual like that and others, I spoke to one of the war eagles from the Lakota tribe about a week ago, and he talked about how in the southern part of the reservation that they're on, the Lakota tribe, they see the UFOs moving above the missile base down there. And he said they're there. So, you know, so many people have stories to tell, but we got to collate them. We got to get them together. We got more and more people to start expressing it. And your show, other shows, other programs, other organizations, MUFON, NICAP, all those people, if they keep pushing that, like the tidal wave, you can't stop it.
And one of your really, you know, reasons that you got into that was the knowledge of Hal Wilcox. He's no longer with us, is he?
No, but he left a plethora of information, and I'm putting it up online. I've got materials for people who want to explore that avenue. As I said, no one has a corner on truth. People have to make their own searches. I don't expect everybody to believe what I'm saying, but I expect people to think. God gave us all the capability to question, to ask questions. So, you know, use that critical ability and start asking questions, but every person has to start. Who am I? Where am I going? What's it all about?
What's
those fundamental questions.
Yep, that's so true. Harlingen, Texas, we go. It's Glenn Stern on Coast to Coast. Let's get in as many calls as we can. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, George. Sorry I missed you at McAllen, Texas.
Ah, I loved it. I had a great time there.
Oh, great. I'm glad. Say, I have a question for you and your guest. I'll try and be quick. You mentioned that you could, in relativistic speeds, you could travel 40 light years in 3 months, I believe. A while back, And I was wondering what your source was on that. That's really interesting. Mr. Peters, is it Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Peters.
Call me Mark.
I was wondering how you refute NASA's explanation when the space shuttle has not 10, not 20, but 44 liquid oxygen reaction control rockets continuously adjusting pitch, roll, yaw, attitude, angle of attack, and finally declination and right ascension, their position in orbit. It's constantly spewing stuff all over the place.
No, I got you, Len. And that's been raised up before. If you look at the NICAP link that I have, they got into it in such detail, but just common sense, just putting the scientific evidence aside. If you look at, rockets can move things around. In fact, as the camera rotates down, you see some ice crystals moving in one direction. But there is no pitching yaw to the shuttle. It's stationary. So you've got that object moving right to left, stopping, reversing direction, and then zooming out into outer space. It's not, the shuttle would have to pitch and yaw at that time, and it's not. Those jets, and NASA tries to explain it, but they can't, of course. Look at the scientific analysis that NICAP did, and I'd urge you to take a look at that and use your common sense when you look at it. Seeing is believing, and don't let the government tell you different.
And my speed of light, that was, I believe, a story from space.com about the ability to travel, if we can ever get that fast. How fast did you predict the craft might have been going on the STS-48 clip?
That wasn't me. That was Williamson Labs, and also, I don't know if Mercury, who else did it, but NICAP may have also.
Pretty darn fast, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
Pretty darn fast.
Oh, 340,000 kilometers per hour.
Per hour.
340, that's about 200,000 miles per hour. The G's sustained was, 14,000 G's of force, which obviously, our technology can't cope with.
I mean, it went from one side of the planet to the other in split seconds.
Yeah, it goes, and again, right to left, stops, reverses direction and angle, and zooms out, increasing speed. The ice crystals don't do that. No matter how NASA may think we're so ignorant and stupid as to accept their explanation, it just defies. Well, obviously, they just want to push it aside. Don't look at that. Move on. Nothing to see here.
What's your next big project, Mark?
Trying to get them to open up the files and to spread the word about what they have to say. Again, I don't want people to get caught up too much in the hardware. It's more than just, seeing craft. We know they're here. And if people take the time to research it, I can't do their research. They have to go out on their own, look at all the videos, talk to the people who've seen them, talk to your friends, your neighbors. They, personal testimony will convince you of the reality. The next thing is, what do they say? And different groups have different messages, just like you have different political groups here. You have different organizations trying to give different messages. I have some messages that I've been able to coalesce and put on the website, and I'll get more and more of that.
I want you back on if we get one of the astronauts from STS-48. Would you do that?
Absolutely.
Super. Thanks, Mark. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.